Coffee with Cudmore.
Light 104.7 and 1570 AM. WVTL.
St. Mary's Healthcare Program, talking about addictions and addiction services. We welcome Counselor Rob Constantine. Good morning, Rob.
Good morning, Bob. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's great to have you. Rob Constantine and I are high school classmates.
That's right.
Class of 63. But we've had our paths go here, there, and everywhere since. And you were telling me you've been here at work. I don't know if you've been working at St. Mary's, but you've been back in Amsterdam, right? Living in the city of Amsterdam for...
The past 13 years. I lived in Manhattan for 20 years, and I've been at St. Mary's since 2001.
And you work as an addictions counselor?
Exactly.
Trained in that, or how does that work?
I've done many, many, many courses. I was hired as a vocational counselor, and I had a master's in education, so that's what went with that part. And as I stayed there, I realized that I really did like the field, so I started to prepare to become a counselor.
And is this counselor. An issue for you over the years, addictions?
Absolutely. It's
me too.
Okay. Right. I think it's with more people than we can imagine.
Right. Well, it's true. I mean, you know, and I'm sure this, and it happened, I mean, like they founded AA in the 30s or whatever, and, that, you know, 39. That was the greatest generation, and they drank a lot, and we drank a lot and added other drugs.
Absolutely.
Many of us did. I honestly never really added other drugs, but, you know.
Sure.
Yeah. But so it's something we deal with.
Absolutely, and I think that... I think you never know when a person steps over the line so that all of a sudden they become what's called alcohol dependent or drug dependent. And thank God for rehabs and clinics to help people who need that help, because very often it stops a lot of other action in their life at that point.
Yeah, it does. And you put in a special value on vocational rehabilitation. Could you talk about what is that? What do you mean?
Absolutely. Well, very often when people have come to a point where they are finally admitting that they have an addiction, to them it may appear that all of a sudden they're admitting this. But very often a lot of people around them may know, such as employers, family members and such. And I like to think that when they have stepped over that line and became dependent, very often they get stuck there emotionally. And sometimes that's a very good point to pick up when they're in rehabilitation, because we can start to see that perhaps they could move forward now with something else, vocationally or educationally, employment-wise.
Because I know somebody who recently stopped smoking. Mm-hmm. You need something to replace it.
Absolutely. And it would appear to me that trying to make a turnaround in your life would be one of the things that would replace that habit. Of course, it's a daily thing. I like to think that we have a day at a time to do it. Of course, AA and all the 12-step programs talk about you have one day to work everything out. And it is true. When we think we don't have much of a choice, we have this day to work it out. And so I like to keep things in the day. That doesn't mean to not prepare for the future, but not prepare for the outcomes.
Okay.
And that's what I like to do in the vocational groups. Very often, the vocational group will consist of learning how to write a resume. Mm-hmm. Very often, people with addictions feel disenfranchised, and they feel, I didn't do anything with my life. But the truth is, they always did something. And if there's any kind of work history there, I have a way of writing a resume so that it'll show that it's not so important to just look at the gaps in your work history.
That would probably make them afraid, right?
Sure, yeah. Exactly. They become a little shy about, well, I don't want to write a resume because I don't have much of a work history. But then when I start to talk about some of their transferable skills, such as things they learned around the house, how can you transfer them into a paying job, for example?
Rob Constantine with us, addiction counselor, St. Mary's Healthcare. Now, you'd say, or actually I saw an email you sent to one of the folks over to St. Mary's saying that this works. I mean, could you talk about that? I mean, this is, you found that this has worked with people.
Oh, absolutely. I have a couple of percentages here. Actually, in the first quarter and the second quarter of fiscal year 2012, We have that our outpatient clinic clients who have 48% of them have worked, which is a lot. And in the methadone clinic that we have, up to 52%, which really is something, because very often people feel that people with who are on a methadone maintenance program don't work, or people with addictions don't work. Actually, one of the things we try to do is to bring them into the outpatient program other than the methadone. That's outpatient, but it's a little more intensive. What we try to do is bring them in and expose them to what they could do once they get back out into the world to work or to schooling. I'm very involved with the New York State Department of Education. A faction of that is called VESED, mm-hmm. which stands for Vocational Educational Services for Individuals with Disabilities, mm-hmm. and it's one of the only agencies, vocational agencies anyway, that looks at alcoholism and or drug addiction as a disability, and therefore this offers a myriad of opportunities for people with addictions to realize that there is some help for them out there to either complete their education or to offer them work if they need to change.
When I worked for the state for a while, and I heard about VESED, but I'm not really sure I get it. Is it that they find jobs for people or they employ people?
Actually,
what do
they
do?
They don't find jobs or employ people. What they do is they try to get the person, for example, a person with addiction, they try to get him to find exactly what it would be that he would feel comfortable doing, and if it's at an accredited institution or workplace, they will fund that. They will offer tools, clothing, tuition. It's a wonderful, wonderful agency.
But they'll do that for the person with the addiction. What about
exactly?
Or is it you're saying that they'll pay this? They'll give a grant or something to pay the salary, or no?
Not this. Well, they do have work coaches where. They are subsidized by certain organizations and the state and the county, actually, to support the workforce. But they will also pay for tuition for college. And, for example, I had a client who felt that he needed to stay away from anywhere where there would be alcohol or anything available. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So he got interested in welding, and we were able, through VESED, to fund his welding school. He went to the Modern Welding School, which is a nationally known school in Schenectady, and he became a certified welder. Never dreamed that he would be doing that before. But
So, I mean, I'm glad you brought up that example. So, but this VESED program is not available for everybody, or
it actually is available for everybody. It's I'm gonna explain the acronym again. It's Vocational Educational Services for Individuals with Disabilities. Yeah. And that could be a mental health disability, a psychological issue, bodily injury, or anything that
could be blindness.
It could be blindness. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. In fact, I've done a lot with the Northeastern Institute for the Blind, and that's a wonderful, wonderful program. In fact, they sent one of our clients out to the Carroll Institute in Boston, which is also a wonderful school for rehabilitating and vocational for people with sight issues.
Maybe I'm again getting confused. Okay. You counsel people with addictions, or also people with other disabilities, or
mainly with addictions in our clinic.
But somebody with an addiction could also be blind. Is that?
Oh sure. So that what we try to do is set them up with what's most comparable for what their disability would be. And we wouldn't have all the faculties or the facilities for dealing with a blind issue, but the New York State, the Northeast Institute does in Albany. So, mm-hmm. And so they're very good. Now, anyone could go to VESED, actually, with a disability. It just so happens that our disabilities that we deal with at addiction services are alcoholism or addiction, drug addiction.
We're talking with Rob Constantine. He is an addictions counselor at St. Mary's Healthcare in Amsterdam, in particular interested in vocational rehabilitation. If you need help, if you have a question, you have a comment, we'd love to hear from you. Our number is 684 1-800-273-0123 if you want to call in. We're talking about addictions on the program, alcohol, drugs, etc. 684-0123.
Light 104.7 and 1570 AM, WVTL.
And we're talking with Rob Constantine. Where do the people come from that you counsel? I mean, go ahead.
Okay, some are self-referred. Some come because of traffic infractions, such as a DWI, DWAI.
Mm-hmm.
Some are from probation, because very often addictions may cause people to get involved with the legal system, parole and probation, self-referral, other agencies.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so when you how many counselors does St. Mary's have?
11.
11?
11 in the outpatient.
Because you have a whole system there for dealing with addictions, no? Or,
yeah, well, we have an outpatient clinic, which entails an intensive track and a non-intensive track. And then we also have 100 clients in our methadone maintenance treatment program.
Mm-hmm. And
they all have various groups to accommodate them.
Sometimes a person is required, let's say, to come to your
mandated
groups, right, or else they'll go to jail or something.
Exactly.
Yeah. So I would think that'd be a pretty good motivator. You know, when I talk, you know, rather flippantly about addiction, I obviously over the years have consumed too much alcohol, and I didn't get like a court to tell me, but so far it's worked. My doctor said, "Well, you got to cut this down,
sir."
And so, you know, I still drink, but, you know, just drink a little bit, which I know is controversial in the addiction field. In fact, in our area, we have a private addiction counseling service who says that, you know, the 12-step program is good for some people, but they can do it a different way.
Sure. Well, I find that abstinence appears to be the way for most of us, for myself anyway. I know there are many ways that people say that... if I could just have one. But for the most part, when you're addicted to something, that's out the window.
Right.
I don't know very many people who are alcoholic or drug dependent who would say, "Oh, I'll just have one and that's it."
Sure.
You know. And then very often you'll hear that even the ones who are mandated will sometimes say, "Geez, I'm so glad this was a blessing in disguise that I was mandated to come here, because now I'm feeling so much better. And I feel like I have some hope, you know."
Mm-hmm. Well, you do, but again, going back to this vocational thing, I guess what I'm kind of keen on is, mm-hmm. from what I understand your message is that you need something to replace, you know, the booze or the drugs.
Absolutely.
Or whatever.
Yeah. And very often that's work.
Right, it is.
Because people with addictions very often have a terrible time in the workplace, you know, such as punctuality, efficiency, all of that. And very many of our groups, not only our vocational groups, but a lot of groups, try to deal with where the client is at that point, you know, where he came in. How can we help him move a little forward rather than dwell on the past and, you know, the damage there?
How long do you, in a sense, see somebody? I mean, in a group?
Well, in the group, an hour. Our groups are an hour.
Okay.
But it's normally three-month periods, 3 months, 6 months.
So for all, and you've at least, well, you've been doing this here for 13 years.
12 years.
12
yeah.
years. Okay. But anyway, I guess what I want to ask is, I mean, are these like a whole bunch of people coming in and out of your life, or do you form any kind of bond, or maybe that's not a good idea for you?
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, you know, we have all of our HIPAA regulations and everything else where extreme confidentiality is maintained with our clients. Not like in Alcoholics Anonymous, where that's anonymous. We're not anonymous, but we are very, very confidential. And our clients sign releases telling us who we may talk to or who we may not talk to about them and to them and for them, hopefully.
Okay. So you're telling me you can't really answer that question, whether you've, you know, you just see people for a few months and they go off and you
never see them again? Well, very often they will come back. Sometimes we'll ask them back to talk to a group or something, and we have a lot of people who really pick themselves up. And I will say, and people often think that I work for Vested because I'm always praising it, but the truth is it does help people get picked up so that they can see a future in their and either completing their education or finding a job that would be very suitable for them. Because very often people with addictions are disenfranchised by the time they get to us, and hopefully we can move them along forward.
I keep repeating bits of this interview I heard on the public channel. Again, I got to look up the woman because I don't know her name, but she's a lawyer, and she works with people in poverty primarily. And she says one of the biggest problems, and she's enlisted the military in her cause, is, and I'm not exactly sure what she meant by it, but she says that the U.S. military in its wars overseas have learned how to work on making fractured societies less frightening. And that's an issue. Maybe we don't think about it so much around here, but I would imagine many of your clients, if that's the proper word, come to you, and maybe you're talking about vocations and so on, invested and whatnot, but they leave and they go back to somebody who beats them, or they go back to a dangerous neighborhood, and they're, and maybe that's what's driving them to drink or drugs.
Sure. One of the things that we try to instill in them in most groups is that they have to pay special attention to people, places, things, and situations that would have the potential for them to return to their other form of living, which was in an addiction atmosphere. So that we try to help them with realizing that people, places, things, and situations are certainly triggers for them, and that they can't drink safely anymore or use drugs safely anymore. That they have to always do it under monitorship, such as a doctor, if it's drugs. And if it's alcohol, we like to claim that we are an abstinence-based program.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if that answered that.
Sure, but. No. That I was wondering about that. And honestly, what just came into my mind is maybe the, a 500-pound gorilla in the room. We just had a double murder in Amsterdam that the police say had something to do with drugs and that kind of situation. So I mean, we're talking about the possibility of real violence here.
Absolutely. Fatal violence. It's an altered state. Addictions is an altered state.
Well, again, to continue with another anonymous example. I mean, I think those of us, over the years, we know a lot of people with addictions or with problems. I mean, sometimes people who are addicted just don't know what they're doing.
Exactly.
They go. I remember somebody was telling me that in his high school class, they had a speaker say, the only way he was able to figure out where he'd been is he'd look at his MasterCard. Maybe he'd flown to Las Vegas and so forth, kind of like on autopilot. And who knows what happened when
he that's called a blackout.
There. Yeah.
And where people have gone through a day or two in a blackout where they were so intoxicated, they were intoxicated to a point where they didn't realize what they had done the past day or so until people told them.
Rob Constantine joins us. He is addictions counselor at St. Mary's Healthcare. If you had anything to ask him or talk about, we'd welcome your call at 684-0123. So do you spend most of your week leading groups or having groups or that kind of thing?
Well, I do some groups. I do about 7 groups, actually. But other than that, we also do intakes. Evaluations, and then each counselor has a caseload, so we meet our clients on our caseload for individual counseling sessions, and sometimes there's a little bit of case management with it if they need to get to a job site or to the Department of Social Services or something. We will also offer them a ride if they don't have transportation, but it is sort of a one-stop program. We also try to set them up with some kind of transportation if they have a transportation issue as well. Because a lot of our clients do have a transportation issue because some of them are there because of DWIs, and the Department of Motor Vehicles is not too quick in returning the license to someone.
Are you overbooked?
Well, we're, I don't know if I would say overbooked, but we are certainly busy. And. Mm-hmm. There's always room for emergency, though,
Is St. Mary's Healthcare the prime area for addiction treatment around here?
Other than Albany, there is Conifer Park in Schenectady, actually. There are a couple of other agencies, but in this area, in the Montgomery County, we are. It seems like we're the one stop.
Mm. And I think that people who are, you know, in kind of any kind of helping profession run up against this. So I'll just ask you in general. I mean, do people say to you sometimes, "Oh, this just doesn't work. What are you wasting your time for?"
Sure, but very often that's not the person going through it. It's one of those things. You know, it's easier to look from the outside than it is to be right in the mitten of it, you know. Mm-hmm. And very often a person with addictions who is getting help will not say that. They may not have all the faith in themselves at first to say, "I can do this." But that's why I really try to encapsulate it into a one-day-at-a-time situation. Because, you know, sometimes it's just very difficult, too difficult to try to project outside of the day.
Mm-hmm.
Especially for someone who's not feeling well. And very often people with addictions, once they stop, don't feel very well because their body's going through withdrawal. Mm-hmm. And so we try to get all the happy things going so they can build up their endorphins and be happy again.
And but yet, I mean, you are, you know, emphasizing the one day at a time approach. But on the other hand, you are hoping that, you know, let's say with these vocational programs and that state effort, that, you know, that there is some future here.
Sure. Well, that's that filling in the gap that you were saying before. When you take the substance away, what do you fill it in with, you know? And hopefully that would be a feeling of accomplishment through education or work.
Rob Constantine, addictions counselor at St. Mary's Healthcare, joining us for just a few more minutes here. And I just want to ask you, I mean, is there anything we've left out that you wanted to talk about?
No, I don't think so. One of the things we do as well, we try to get them involved in not just groups, you know. We maintain a garden in the back of the...
And you're quite a gardener.
Yeah, I do. I love gardening. And each year, there was a storage area, and now it's this very beautiful garden that our consumers, our clients, actually help build up every year, and it gets more and more beautiful each year. And then we have a reception in July. This year, it's going to be in September because it's recovery month, mm-hmm. September. Mm-hmm. So we're going to have our reception and show off the garden in September, and I'll invite you.
Okay. I mean, and it must, I would say that, you know, say for you personally, because a garden's been very important to you, gardening is, that's, I would imagine you really present that in a way that really, I don't know, gets them into it somehow, I would
think. Yeah, I try to, because when I talk gardening or music, I get very philosophical about it. Mm-hmm. And so I know that I use a lot of, my clients have told me I use a lot of gardening metaphors in our groups. But it is true, you know. For example, having faith in knowing that you want to be sober, that's planting a seed. Now, if you were to plant a seed in the garden, you don't keep going back there and digging it up to see how it's doing. You realize you've planted it in good soil, and now your faith in yourself is what's going to water it and hopefully let it bloom.
Very good. And see, what I remember, and we established this at the beginning, Rob and I were high school classmates. I remember you were the stage manager in our town, and I was
that's
one
right.
of the characters, I think Dr. Gibbs. I always thought of you as an actor, a performer, and music was the
yeah,
main thing?
Yeah, a singer, too, yeah.
A singer?
Yeah.
Okay.
I did that, and then this is my third career, actually. I taught school. I taught high school and college at Geneseo for 8 years. And when I moved to Manhattan in 1978, I went to culinary arts school, so I was a chef for 20 years. And then I came into this, and I must say this is really the most rewarding addictions field.
And what,
wonderful.
Because you're helping people?
Yeah, exactly. It's such a wonderful thing to see people happy with the fact that they've been able to put the dragon down, you know,
mm-hmm.
and to keep it down a day at a time, mm-hmm. basically.
Yeah. Well, that's true. I mean, it's you know, better than, I don't know. Yeah, I can see how that would work. Let me try to give another example. You know, it's different from, you know, working in a factory or different from trying to sell, you know, a product or something mm-hmm. like that. Not that there's anything wrong with any of these things, but maybe
sure.
you encourage people to do those very things.
Exactly. And, well, sometimes there's a certain amount of salesmanship, I think, when you're leading an addictions group as well, because you want to give them examples of people who have made it and who have turned their lives around, and there are many.
Mm-hmm.
There are many.
Mm-hmm. Must be frustrating.
It can be frustrating, but we just have to. I know I keep reiterating this, but if we can just keep it in the day, we can do anything today. You know, I remember I took care of my mother before she passed, and when she passed, I was just so distraught, and I thought to myself, how can I go for the rest of my life without my mother in my life? And thank God I thought of the program that I worked, because I can do it a day at a time. It's just too hard to do anything for the rest of my life, but today I can do it.
Rob Constantine, addictions counselor at St. Mary's Healthcare. Do you have some contact information from the folks?
Well, I can give our phone number at the clinic. It's 518-843-4410.
Rob Constantine, a pleasure to see you after all these years.
Same here, Bob.
Have a good day.
God bless you.